Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave. I think I know pretty much everybody here. How awesome is that? Welcome to church this morning. So I have a question for you. At this point, it's rhetorical. You can think about it through the talk, but the main question we're going to be talking about is this. Moses had a shepherd's staff. I had this rusty old smoker barrel. What is in your hand that God wants to use? How about we pray? Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you that there is so much treasure that you've written for us. And I pray you'd help our hearts to be open to receive and that our feet and our hands would be ready to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's some context in the backstory. If you've seen the Prince of Egypt movie, then you've got it all covered. You know all the story here. We're going to be talking about Moses today and his encounter with God and God's challenging him. So at this point in the story, Moses was in Midian, which was outside of Egypt. He was a shepherd. And the rest of Israel, and he was from the tribe of Israel, from the nation of Israel in Egypt, the rest of the people, they were still slaves back in Egypt. So here he was in Midian, in a neighbor country. As a shepherd, he saw this bush, and it was on fire. But it wasn't like being consumed. It just kept staying on fire. So he went to check it out, and there he encountered God. And God called him in that moment to go back to Egypt and to bring the nation of Israel safely out of Egypt and to then go on to Canaan where God had given them land. So it sounds wonderful. We all know the story, or most of us would. But in this point, Moses was just consumed with fear, consumed with doubt. He was convinced he was not the right man for the job. And he kept coming back to God with all of these excuses as to why, no, it's not me. I can't do it. I can't do it. Use somebody else, please. And God just kept at him and eventually convinced him. And there's a really iconic verse where God asks him, what's in your hand? And this is what God uses to turn the tide with him and convince him, Moses, I have chosen you. I will use you. Here's what he says in Exodus chapter 4. This is Moses still coming up with doubts and fears. He goes, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? And they say, the Lord did not appear to you. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. Remember, he's a shepherd. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it. That's logical. I think I would too. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Who would do that? Not me. Not the tail. I don't get that. Honestly, I think it's just going to come around and bite me. Anyways, God knows, hey. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So here's the central question that we're going to be talking about again and again. Moses had this shepherd's staff. At some point, God gives me this rusty old barrel to be a smoker of meat in. What about you? What does God have in your life that he wants to use? So I got some questions here for you, and I want you to actually answer them out loud, okay? So I'll ask, and you answer. And we can all shout out, okay? So first question, where was Moses from? Before this, where did he come from? From Egypt, that's great. So he was not Egyptian though, right? What was his nationality? He was a Hebrew from Israel. But he, as a little baby, he was rescued out of the Nile River and brought into Pharaoh's family by Pharaoh's daughter. So he was a prince, basically. But why was he now living in the desert of Midian? Why was he there? I can't hear you. He killed someone. That's right. So with sort of reading between the lines, you kind of get the idea. He sees the Egyptian guard beating a Hebrew. He gets angry about it. He goes and beats up the guard. The guy dies. And he was hoping that Israel would start to follow him and have a revolution. But they don't. And instead, he gets in trouble and he runs. He runs away. And how long had he been there? How long had he been running away from that? 40 years. 40 years. So here's a next level question for you. How old is he at this point in his life? He is 80 years old. Isn't that crazy? This is when God chooses to call him. Okay, another background question. What do Egyptians, and thus Moses, what do they think about shepherds? Is it one of the best careers you can go for? Do they think, yes, those shepherds, they've got it. What do they think? Scum of the earth. Detestable. We hate those guys. They stink. This is where Moses was. So last question here for you. When God asks Moses, what's in your hand? And he replies, a shepherd's staff. Is that something he's proud of? Not really. What does this shepherd's staff represent now at this point in Moses' life? It's his job. It's his identity. But it's his failure. He had failed as a revolutionary. He'd failed as a prince. And the best that he could do now was the lowest thing on the jobs list, be a shepherd. But isn't it interesting that God chooses now, when he's 80 years old, when he's completely humbled, completely empty, completely broken, now I want to use you. Now I call you Moses. Now is the time. I've been preparing you. You see, God wanted to use Moses the humble shepherd, not Moses the revolutionary, not Moses the prince. Now was the time. So let's continue on with the story. We'll fast forward through some of it. Moses, he starts to believe God, like, okay, I think I can do this. And God gets him over, and he goes back to Israel in Egypt, and he confronts Pharaoh. And ultimately, Israel marches on to freedom. But along this story, we see it so many times that God actually uses this shepherd staff. And I find it really interesting. So I'll just highlight some of the ones. One of the first ones, God told Moses to use that staff to turn the Nile River into blood. At another point, God said, use the shepherd's staff to make it rain hail on all the crops in Egypt. Another time, God said, use that shepherd's staff to make locusts come through and eat up every bit of food. And these problems, these things that were happening, was so that Israel could become free. Then they come out of Egypt, and they're on their way because Pharaoh had said, all right, you can go. But then they're stuck at the Red Sea. And God says, use your staff to split the Red Sea in half So we can walk across it on dry land. And it happens. Then as they're walking through the deserts in those years, they have no water. God said, take that staff and hit a rock, and I'm going to give you enough water to give water for 2 million people. And then when they had their first military conflict, they realized that Moses needed to stand up with his hands up high, holding the staff. And as long as he's doing that, Israel would start to make some progress and see some progress in that fight. But the minute his arms got tired and he went down, then they would go backwards. So if you think now about Moses' ministry in that last 40 years, and as he dies, and the people of Israel mourn his passing, and they have this staff. What does that staff now represent? Remember, it used to be his failure. It used to be his emptiness, his brokenness. What's it represent now? The victory. Got to use it for victory. Got to use it for provision, protection. Isn't that interesting? That symbol in his life that was it represented his failure. Now God used it in a mighty, mighty way. So I keep coming back to this question: what's in your hand? What is it right now that God senses in you? Maybe it's a point of failure, a point of weakness, a point of brokenness that He wants to use today. You see, when God uses the weak things of this world, when He uses the lowly and humble things of this world, who gets the honor? He does. Yeah. He delights in using our weakness because His strength comes through. I'd like to tell you some of my story. Back in America growing up, my dad was a pastor and we were in church all the time. Like, it was like a full-time job for us. And growing up, the training I got just firsthand was for me. Basically, I could go on to lead in a church or lead a church. And eventually, down the track, I did pastor a small church for a time. But I failed. And I had an encounter with God, and I felt Him saying, David, I want you to step away from this. I tried my hand at small business, and I failed. I tried to be an investor, and I failed. I wanted to become a doctor, and I worked really hard at uni to get into the medical program at Sydney Uni, and I failed. I used that science degree that I got, and I became a teacher, and ended up in a school for kids with severe disabilities, and loved it. But after 7 years, I was so burnt out. And I felt so trapped. And then something really strange happened. I had some time off work and I built this guy. Bottom of the barrel. That's why we call it bottom of the barrel, because we started from nothing. I went on Gumtree and bought all the stuff we needed, and it costs about $200 at that time for all the bits and pieces. And I was too afraid to tell Mel how much money we'd spent on it because we were really struggling. But it was fun. It was something I really wanted to do, and I missed having barbecue. So I built the thing, and we had some pulled pork and brisket and all this stuff. And it was a fun thing for me. I didn't have any plans or expectations from it. And We had moved to this church, and early days when we were here, Father's Day was coming up, and the events team came to me and said, hey, we hear that you like to do American barbecue. Can you do a meaty morning tea for Father's Day? And I thought, oh, that'd be really fun. So we did it. Who remembers that meaty morning tea? Yeah, back in the day. That was many, many years ago. And then Josh was turning 21, and how old is he now? 28, wow. And he wanted us to cater for his 21st. And kind of from that, little things started happening. We started going to, like, the markets around us, and it became a small little weekend income for us. And then it just kept growing and growing. And eventually we gave away teaching. You know, in 2020 we stopped that and started full-time barbecue. And along the way, God has always been faithful. And it's been wonderful for us because it's been a source of kingdom in what we do. So many times I've heard Mel say, at the front of the line with people packed and waiting for their food, she's saying out loud, God is our provider. He provides for us. So many conversations we've had here at church about God, it's just been a wonderful thing for us. And there's three things that I've learned along the way that I'd like to share with you. Number one, it's God's business. He is our provider. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift, this is my gift, this is what God gave me, whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards, as faithful managers of God's grace in its various forms. God's always provided. And we decided early on, God, it's your business. We're just going to work hard at it. We're going to manage, but ultimately it's yours and we'll look to you to provide. And he always has been faithful. And whether or not you're in business for yourself or working somewhere else, it doesn't matter. Remember, your life, your time, the things that you do, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. It belongs to him. You manage your life, but it is owned by God. He provides for you. Number two, don't be afraid. And this is where we're up to now in this story with Israel leaving Egypt. So the background is Pharaoh said, yeah, sure, you guys can go. I'm sick of all these plagues. I'm ready to send Israel out. And then he changes his heart, changes his mind, and he sends the army chasing down after Israel. But they're stuck. So here, I'll pick up the story here in Exodus 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there was the Egyptians marching after them, the military. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And you know the story. Moses puts the rod over the Red Sea, it parts. Israel walks through safely. The Egyptians, with their chariots and all their modern military at that stage, they follow. And the Red Sea collapses on them, and the entire might of the Egyptian army is just wiped out. They never see them again. Because God fought for them. We don't need to be afraid. I'm not trying to minimize the things that we're going through. I'm not trying to minimize the pressures that we face. I'm not trying to minimize the problems in our life. I'm trying to maximize how good and powerful God is. You can count on him. He will come through for you. He will fight for you. Number three, seek first God's kingdom. So number one, it's God's business. It's God's life. He's your provider. Number two, don't be afraid. Number three, seek first God's kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So for us, we decided we're going to trust God with his business. We're going to trust him with the finances. We're going to be giving financially from the business to God's kingdom. You know, it would have been a lot easier for us to say, all right, well, God, it makes sense for us to kind of wait till we have a lot of money saved up, and then we can start giving a little bit. But no, we said we're gonna seek first God's kingdom. We're gonna let the money serve God's kingdom. Also, it's about time, isn't it? Seeking first His kingdom, and God brings this back to me time and time and time again, where He indicates to me at work, David, I want you to put down the tools and help this person who's just come to you in need. Because here we are in the community, and there's so many people in need, so many people with real full-on needs, and they need help. And God's positioned me here to help them. So I can put down the tools, help them with something in the cupboard, give them some frozen meals, pray with them, listen to them. And it's just been a wonderful thing that God has allowed to spring up from this barrel. Hey, how amazing. And it's in those moments that, you know, internally I feel a little bit frustrated because I have so much work to do and I want to get it all done so I can go home. But God says, no, no, my kingdom is to stop that and help this person. I might ask the team to come forward, the band. So yeah, I want to encourage you in your life. You can trust God. He will fight for you. He will provide for you. But seek His kingdom first. And this question I keep asking you, Moses had that shepherd's staff. That was his emptiness, his brokenness. God gave me this smoker barrel that eventually turned into the American barbecue out there. Is there something in your life that God has for you? Something He's placed in your hand that He is trusting you with? It's in these moments that we might be tempted to think, oh yeah, I'm really good at this thing. I'm really gifted in this area. But maybe that's not what God wants to use. Is there an area of brokenness, of weakness, of emptiness that you can surrender to God today and say, all right, God, I'm here for you. I will serve you. I will honor you. I lay my life down before you, and you can use me however you want. I think that's the thing He wants to use. Can I pray for you now? Lord God, I thank you that you are so good to us. You are so faithful. And it's incredible that you would choose to use us, that you choose to work with us. We're so flawed. We're so weak, but through you, all things are possible. I pray you give us the courage now to step out in faith into what you've called us to do, that we would trust you. Because you are worthy of it all, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand and worship together, guys?
Holy forever, you will always be holy. Holy forever,
for prayer if you need to, otherwise be dismissed, guys, and have a wonderful week.
Thanks so much for checking out this message. Lifegate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at Lifegate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.